We greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to open the Word of God to you as the Lord has given me. So we invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. Lord willing, we're going to be preaching out of verse 32, remember Lot's wife. But we're going to start reading in Luke 17 and verse 26. And as it was in the day of Noah, that's how it says in the Greek, it's Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now this is the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who is one with the Father, preaching to us. So he's telling you about the days of the Son of Man. That's him. He's talking to you and preaching to us about what he knows to be the truth, because this is how he's going to come. This is what it's going to be like. He said, now let me tell you how it was in the days of Noah. This is the way it's going to be in the days when I come back again. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, what do you see in that verse? You see men satisfying their lusts. It talks about food and drink. It talks about marrying women. It talks about marrying wives and giving others in marriage, that this was more important than anything. These kinds of things. What does it leave out? A God consciousness. They were conscious of their own personal lusts and needs. They wanted to fulfill and satisfy that which their flesh desired. And he said, that's the way it was in the days of Noah, and that's how it's going to be when I come back. He said, well, help us out here then, Lord. Likewise, also, as in the days of Lot. So there's two men that he gave you, and he says, in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. If you will study out those days, you will find out how it's going to be in your environment when the Lord comes back. And dear soul, right now where we are fits this to a T. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. So in the days of Noah, marriage was included in the relationship between man and woman was included. But in the days of Lot, it's talking about them prospering in produce and in building buildings and houses and so forth, and turning to all of that. So it matters not what the particular flavor of involvement is with mankind. What you find in both of these is that there is no involvement with God. So whatever there is that involves mankind in our day, we need to be careful with it and make sure that we stay involved with the Lord God. Now, verse 29, but the same day, 124-hour period, this all is going to happen in a single day. Listen, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire. Oh my goodness. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Everybody was on earth in Noah's day got drowned. Noah was in an ark. Everybody in Sodom and the other four cities of the plains were destroyed. And only those who escaped Sodom were preserved alive. And he says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So a flood in Noah's day a sudden washing away of the continents, changing the whole world. Peter said, it's the world that then was. And the deluge was powerful and forceful. Water come up from the great deep. The windows of heaven were open, and water touched water. And only Noah, in his obedience to God, was able to save himself and his family. And in the days of Lot, God said, it's going to rain again. That's what these 2 days have in common. In both days it rained. But in Lot's day, it rained fire and brimstone. So God destroyed the world with water in Noah's day. In the end time, he's going to destroy the world with fire. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. So what manner of persons ought we to be, seeing that these things are that way? So even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, Lord, we know that you know. We know that this is your day. It's the day of the Son of Man. It's the day that you and your Father and the Holy Ghost have laid out ahead of time. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time for all things. So this is that time that's marked out on God's calendar, if I can say it that way. We don't know the day nor the hour. It's best that we don't. We need to be ready every day. Every day when you get out of bed, you should thank the Lord for the privilege of living before him, and make sure whatever you do, if you don't get to the things on your list that you wanted to get done that day, make sure you get this done. What is that? Have a God consciousness. Make sure that you are thankful for the Lord, to the Lord, for being able to bend over on the side of your bed and put on your shoes. Make sure you're thankful that you're able to have breakfast. Make sure you're thankful that when you swallow that breakfast down, it doesn't make you sick. Make sure that when you get to work on time in your automobile, you thank God for a safe journey. God consciousness. The Bible said the road to apostasy is paved with unthankfulness. Neither were they thankful, but their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Dear soul, it's a slippery slope. Slippery slope. See, I told you I could say it. It's a slippery slope in refusing or ceasing to be thankful. It will gradually lead you into a self-awareness and a self-sufficiency and having no consciousness of God at all. What do you owe God? Everything. He gives to all life and breath and all things. You couldn't have that next breath if it wasn't for God. There are thousands of people in hospitals all across our land that's having to have machines breathe for them because of this pandemic. Are you there? No. Then give God thanks for it, for every breath you breathe. Stay in a God-conscious attitude and you will be safe. Even thus shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, Lord, we know this is your day. We already said that. Tell us what we need to do. Here it comes. Here it comes. The next two verses. Luke 17, 31. In that day. I'm going to talk to you about it. He which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house. Oh, that's my favorite whatever. That's my favorite bowling ball. That's my favorite dress. That's my favorite lamp. That's my favorite whatever. Well, my mama left me that, and I got to go back. Listen, remember, both days it rained. One day it rained water in Noah's day. In Lot's day it rained fire and brimstone. And Jesus said, it's going to be that way in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You're not going to have time to go back and get anything. But that's really not the issue. The issue is, why do you want to go back and get that when the Lord has come? Why would you not want to be raised up in the presence of Almighty God? The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Why would you resist the power of the Holy Spirit and the holy angels catching you up? You say, hold on a minute, I got to go back and get that favorite baseball because a famous baseball player signed it for me. Wait a minute. Your mind should not be on any of that stuff. He said he wants to go back in the house, and his stuff is in the house. Listen, our stuff ought to be the glory of God. Our stuff ought to be, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for coming back and getting me. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving me in that cesspool of sin and ungodliness. If your heart is on that stuff, you're going to be in trouble. I want to go read 1 John chapter 2 right now, but we'll get to it later. I don't know. Hold your place. We'll go now. 1 John chapter 2. Listen. Some people say they're saved. Some people think they're saved. But this verse right here proves that they're not. Be careful, dear soul. Be careful. Listen. This is not you trying to be careful for somebody else. It doesn't matter whether it's your wife or your husband or your daughter or your son or your grandmother or your granddaughter or your grandson. This between you and God. Just you and God. Listen. Verse number 15 of 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Isn't that something? Since we are on YouTube, I got interested in watching some of the channels that some of these people have. And some of them, just being honest with you, are interesting to me. And there's one man that I watch, him and his family, and they have a homestead. But the last video that he posted, can you believe an old coot like me is talking like that? I finally learned some things. Old dogs can learn some new tricks. The final video that he posted was, go with me and my wife. We're going to the car dealership, and I am going to get my truck of my dreams. And he began to show us what it was. It was a Chevrolet 2500 diesel, so many ton pickup truck. Oh, he was so excited about that. And I thought, as this message was already beginning to dawn on my soul, son, be careful if your heart is more in that truck. And it was a beautiful truck, and I'm sure it cost him $50,000 up. That's what they cost nowadays, especially a truck like this. I forgot how many tons he said it was, but it was... If it was a Ford, it would be a F-250. But as a General Motors product, it was a 2500. But it was a diesel, and it was so many tons, you know, and he was proud of it, four-wheel drive, and just thrilled to death over it. And it scared me for him. And I thanked God that it scared me for him, and I prayed to God that it would scare him too. Because this verse says, love not the world. Okay? Wait a minute. Neither the things that are in the world. What things that are in the world? The stuff, quote unquote, that you would consider going back to get in the day when the last trumpet sounds. Can't leave this behind. So listen, you can't take anything with you except that which Jesus Christ has formed within you. And godly husbands will be raised with godly wives, and godly wives and husbands will be raised with godly children if they are born again, but they're not going to be able to consider each one to be their stuff. They're going to be raised individually by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever your stuff is, where a man's treasure is, there will be his heart also. You better make sure that you've sold everything you have to purchase the treasure of the pearl of great price. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land or anything the world has to offer me today. We've sung that. Do you live it? I'm worried about me and you in this day and age. I'm concerned about us because, dear soul, this is the last day of the last days. You understand what I'm saying? Why would God give me a message on remember Lot's wife if this thing wasn't near at hand? So you be careful. Don't be excited about what you've been excited about if it does not include God. Oh, dear soul, the Lord has put in me a shepherd's heart, and I care and am concerned about you, and I have not held back anything that the Lord has told me to preach to you in all the years that you've allowed me to preach to you. So, stuff. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen to this next sentence. If any man, woman, boy, girl, if any person, if any human being love the world, listen, the love of the Father is not in him. That's one of the verses. That's one of the things that causes me to say to you, we don't really know that many true Christians. They love God as long as they can go purchase that new 2500 diesel truck. They love God as long as their children are healthy. They love God as long as their bank account is rising. This man made it so well in his channel on YouTube. He quit his job of 13, 14, 15 years, and he makes more money now on YouTube than he did working a regular job that he was good at. But now he's talking about T-shirts and ball caps and different items that he wants you to have. He's become a merchandiser. Oh, my soul, how easily did he slip into that? And the more he got into it, the farther he got away from being able to escape the love of stuff. But God said, if you love the things that are in the world, I don't have anything to do with you. The love of the Father is not in it. You're not saved. You're not born again. Listen, dear soul, we got congressmen. We've got senators, presidents, we got leaders, we've got stars and, people that we exalt and we think, this is great. He carried a pig skin across a line and everybody got up, 90,000 people got up, because this man made a touchdown. I enjoy football. I watch football. I'm not preaching against football. I'm saying be careful that you don't get so caught up in the things that, excite your senses that you forget to understand that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we're going to see today, Lord willing, that Lot's wife, and we don't know her name. God didn't put her name in the book. Just Lot's wife. She almost made it out. Here I go again. Genesis chapter 19. Listen. You say, well, I'm all right. I'll make it. Well, I imagine she said that too. Listen, you need to be careful. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 15. Genesis 19, 15. And when the morning arose, the morning, the day that it was going to rain fire and brimstone on Sodom, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So come out from among them and be separate, God said, and touch not the unclean thing. What is the unclean thing? The love of the world, the love of stuff, whatever would make you turn your back on God and go back to your abode, go into your household and get your stuff. Listen, verse 16, Genesis 19. And while he lingered, that's what bothers me. Are we lingering, dear soul? We need to understand, dear soul, we may not be saved. Oh, yes, baptized. Oh, yes, church membership. Oh, yes, involved in the fellowship of the local assembly. Oh, I give my tithes. I give more than that. I give my offerings. Yes. But a lot of people are in hell that did that good. Listen. Genesis 19, 16. And while he lingered, the men, talking about the angels, laid hold upon his hand. Listen. And upon the hand of his wife. There was an angel that had a hold of her hand. She almost made it. You say, I'm doing that good. Almost will not avail. Almost is but to fail. Be careful. The angel had a hold of her hand and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. She made it to the city limits. You say, well, then why are you preaching about her as if she wasn't right with God? She got out of the city limits, but she did the one thing that offended God and showed that she was not the true wheat. She was like the seed on the rocky ground. She was like the seed on the thorny ground. She did not bring forth fruit to maturity. She sprang forth with joy, it says. But by and by, when the sun arose and scorched everything, she withered and died. She didn't make it. Listen, and it says, let me read it. Verse number 24 of Genesis chapter 19. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, there was five in all, of the plains, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and they which grew up, and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26. Genesis 19, 26. You remember, the angels actually led her outside the city limits of Sodom. She almost made it. But that's in verse number 16. She was outside the city of Sodom. And what did they say? Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And dear soul, here it is. Look not behind thee. That was included. I'm getting you outside of the city limits. You got to get yourself outside of the stuff and the love of the stuff. You got to understand,
God's going to burn down your house. God is going to burn up your car. That 2500 diesel 2021 brand spanking new diesel is going to be burned up. The elements are going to be on fire. What do you think? I don't know what all that means. Atoms, A-T-O-M-S, everything that is the building blocks that structure everything is going to be on fire. And you need to understand that. God is not so proud of what you own as we may be.
Well, God gave me that.
You sure? Maybe he gave you that in order to try and test you to see if you will obey his word. The angel who had a hold of her hand said, I got you out of the side of the city, now escape to the mountains and don't look back. She defied a specific and absolute command of God. She didn't make it all the way. She made it out of the city because of the grace of God leading, maybe dragging, pulling her out. And then in verse number 26 of this same chapter of Genesis 19, but his wife looked back from behind him. Didn't make it. Didn't make it. Lot made it. Daughters made it. She was so given to her stuff that she pulled her husband out of the way and looked behind him. Dear soul, do you love your stuff so much that you would bypass a Christian witness to be able to get one more glimpse of it? Brother Gene, you're scaring me. Good. Then you're in this thing with me. I'm scared for you too. I'm scared for me. I'm scared for my own family, my own grandchildren. Stuff means too much to us Americans. We think, well, those poor people in the third world country, they're deprived of. Maybe not. Maybe they're blessed more than we are. Well, we're blessed because we got all this stuff. Maybe not. Maybe they're blessed because they don't have no stuff. Listen, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. What does that mean? Well, don't worry so much about the pillar of salt that you don't get the point that she had to push her husband out aside to see if God really was going to burn up that trellis in her garden where the roses bloomed so wonderfully and she had worked so hard at it, or whatever it was. You're not really going to destroy, you know, my chickens and my favorite animals, are you? You're not really going to. Let me see what he kept. You know, she was more concerned about her stuff than she was about herself. She concerned more about her stuff than she was her soul. And that's what I'm wondering and scared about Americans. And everybody that I preach to are Americans. And we've been just spoiled rotten in this country. We don't even know what it is to live like the rest of the world. I went on a mission trip in 1971, and I was astounded that we had to buy bottled water. One brother didn't, and he paid the price. He had stomach trouble the rest of that trip. And we saw people whose little shacks had straw roofs, and they didn't have any doors. It just open places. and they had hammocks hanging up inside there, and their house had dirt floors, and the dirt on the inside of what they call their house, their little hut, was the same dirt when you stepped outside. I didn't know how to live like that. But dear soul, be careful when you get everything just like you want it, if that doesn't include getting your heart just like God wants it. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Abraham had so much stuff, him and Lot had to separate. The earth wouldn't hold all their animals. Listen, and folks in the scriptures, some of them were rich beyond measure. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's not stuff that's bad. It's loving that stuff so much that you fail your soul. It said, love not the things of the world. If any man love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God's love, God's presence in a human heart will not coexist with the love of the world. Won't do it. Water and oil. Pour some oil into a pot of water. It won't. You can't make it blend. Put your blender on high speed and do all you can to make it blend. When you stop that blender, it'll all separate again. God's love and the love of stuff will not commingle. It won't do it. Rid your heart of your stuff. No. Rid your heart of your love of stuff. Now, being honest with you, God said, if your hand offend you, chop it off. If you have to get rid of your stuff because you can't trust yourself, then you need to chop off your hand. If your eye offend thee, well, boy, I wish I had that. How'd we get in this mess? Eve said, man, don't that fruit look good? Lust of the eye, all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, it's not of God. That's how we got in this mess. How do you think the merchandisers get all their money? They send you slick catalogs and say, man, look at this. Boy, you could decorate your house for Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas. Boy, everybody be envying you of how well you've decorated. Be careful. Nothing wrong with all that, but just don't let it take your heart to hell with it. She got out of the city. The angels got a hold of her hand and led her outside of the city, but she didn't make it on. She made it out, but she didn't make it on. And this is the sermon. This is the message that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, brought forth to give you the one thing that you need to do in the horrible day when fire and brimstone shall be rained from heaven as in the days of Lot. What did he say? Lord, what is your remedy for us? Is there any hope for us? What did he say? There was just three words that he said. Brother Gene, give us those words. I already have. I'll give them to you again. Remember Lot's wife. It's right here. Remember, don't let the love of stuff dull your senses so that you cannot remember. I looked up the word remember. It means to exercise memory, to rehearse. That's what we're doing right now in this message. A lot of people will see the title of this message and say, nah, I don't want to see that. I say a lot of people. Well, some might do it. But dear soul, if you care for your soul, More than that, if you care for the good pleasure of God Almighty, if you care to bring honor and glory to Almighty God, remember Lot's wife. That's my sermon title. Remember Lot's wife. That was Jesus' message. He preached this. We're reading the words of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Luke 17. Verse 31. He gave you, in verse 31, what he saw happen concerning Lot's wife and Sodom in that day. For God was looking upon them. And Jesus Christ is very God. Listen what he says to give you an interpretation of what happened to Lot's wife. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Whatever's in that house, whether you're close to it, don't go back in it. If you're out in the field working far away from the house, don't turn around and look at the house. Take off running away from it. And then his message is this. Here's the remedy for us to be able to survive in that last day when God shall melt the elements with fervent heat. It is, remember Lot's wife. That's all you're going to give us, Lord? That's all that's necessary. That's all that's necessary. Didn't you start off loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? Yes. Well, what happened to your mind that you don't love God so much with it anymore? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, and that's unpleasant, isn't it? That which is born of the flesh is still being flesh. I fight with my flesh every day. Paul said, I have to die every day. What does he mean by that? You have to make sure your flesh, you know, you chop off your hand and pluck out your eye. You make sure your flesh doesn't have what it wants. And although we walk after the flesh, we're here in these bodies. As a Christian, we do not war after the flesh. What does that mean? It means I've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the shield of faith. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. We're spiritual warriors. For though we are walking in the flesh, we don't have guns and knives and such as that to fight with. That's not us. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. But they don't fight you, Caesar, because this is not or Pilate, whoever it was. That's not the warfare we're facing. We war against the flesh, the things of the flesh. Listen, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10, 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. But mighty, they are mighty through God. You can use these to make sure you don't wind up in the way that Lot's wife did, that God gets you out, but you don't get on. And you lose it and die and go to hell in the last few seconds of your battle. My goodness. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What strongholds? The first thing he mentions is imaginations. Pulling down of strongholds, verse 4, verse 5, casting down imaginations. Make sure that those images that your mind presents to you are not those things that are so grand to your soul and so important to your soul, things by which you identify yourself. Well, I live in this house right here. This is the kind of car I drive. I dress in these nice clothes. Be careful with those images, because that nation, the image nation, will get you in trouble. So the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God till the pulling down of our imaginations. Listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You remember when the Roman governor came out in his great royal robes and he began to make his speech, and the people said, oh, he's a god. Look how he's dressed and listen to his words. And you know what God did? He smote him with worms and he died, because God said, I will not share my glory with any man. And dear soul, if you put more emphasis on stuff, you glorify it. You say, this is what identifies me. I thought you said it was Jesus Christ that identified you. I thought you said that it was the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood and the cross and redemption and justification and God's sanctification of your soul that identified you. I did. What happened? Stuff got in. Be careful. Be careful. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. It will exalt itself. You can't trust stuff. You be careful. You understand that it's nothing but stuff that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience in Christ. You ever wondered why Abraham wasn't in this mess? Why did God say, as in the days of Lot? It was the day of Abraham too. Because the Bible said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Abraham's heart was not caught up in the thousands and hundreds of goats and camels and sheep and all of that. And it wasn't caught up in all the people that served him. And there were so many that he used them as an army to get Lot back after the capture by the five kings. He was in the world, but he wasn't of the world. It was that which God had given him to use, and so many families and scores of people lived because of Abraham's prosperity. It was a blessing to a lot of people, but it was not a curse to Abraham like Sodom was to Lot's wife, whatever her name was. Dear soul, the Christian, 1 Corinthians 10:31, I think. Let me see. I hope I'm right. Nope. That's another verse that is really blessed. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But I was looking for that verse that says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Isn't that good? If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Would you like to be out of the group of those people who are involved in Lot's wife's problem? For sure, I don't want to not make it into the glory of God. Then judge yourself. Listen to the word of God. make application of it to your heart. Well, I ain't going to do what he says. You don't have to do what I say. But what if it's what God says? You're throwing out God's word because you don't like the way I say it. Be careful. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So Lot's wife almost made it. We read you where they got her outside of the city limits. But as they were leaving and going on to the place to where the angels were going to put them for safety, she looked behind him. She had somebody standing between her and where her heart was. Dear soul, I thank God that we have somebody standing between us and the things that have attracted our soul. He is our heavenly husband. Thy maker is thy husband. Isaiah 54, 5. Thy maker is thy husband. And the Lord Jesus Christ will fill our whole hearts, will fill our vision. Be thou my vision, Lord. And he will make sure that he stands between us and the stuff of the world so that, yes, we can have those things which are necessary and needful for us, but he will not allow them to be those things that bring reproach to the glory of God, that we will say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I don't want anything, I don't have anything that I will allow to come between me and you, Lord Jesus. Lot was between her and her heart's desire. The Lord Jesus Christ stands between you and the world. And dear soul, we'll have to show him great disrespect to push him out of the way to look once again upon that which our heart loves. Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So loving the Lord with all your soul and with all your heart and with all your mind will fulfill the entirety of the commands of God upon you. That's what the Lord Jesus said. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse number 30. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, but what is the cure? The cure that Jesus gave of falling into the horrible situation of Lot's wife was remember. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31, verse 32, but call to remembrance. I don't want to fall into the hands of a living God. I don't want to be at odds with God. What should I do? But call to remembrance. It's the same thing Jesus said to cure us of being involved with Lot's wife. You need to remember. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, when you first got saved, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. After I got saved, man, the devil come after me like a duck on a June bug. Yeah. Partly while she were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. What are you saying? I'm saying, remember when you first got saved. You remember what he said to the church in the book of the Revelation. You have lost your first love. You need to repent, return back. You need to remember how it was. You need to remember how you felt. You need to remember what God showed you. You remember how God put that holiness of God within you so that you said, I'll never sin again. I'm going to live for God and for His glory for the rest of my life. Remember that? God said, remember it and get back to that place. That's what Jesus said. The cure for Lot's wife was remember Lot's wife. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Remember from whence thou art fallen. You remember when you were so thrilled with the Lord Jesus Christ that all this other stuff didn't have any inroads to your admiration? Yep. Remember that. Get back to that place. Revelation 3 and verse 3. Church of Sardis. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. That's the same Jesus speaking that preached to us, remember Lot's wife. What is the one common need that we have to be able to escape this horrible destiny? Remember. Remember. Get back to where you were. Listen. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, I got saved so many years ago, and I've done the will of God, but wait a minute, you hadn't received the fullness of it yet. You're not in a glorified state in the presence of God. This is that place that Lot's wife was. She was outside the city, but she didn't get on into the place where God had for her. Remember that. You can lose it right here at the end. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Behold, I come quickly. It means when he starts coming, he's going to be here right quick. Now the just shall live by faith. What happened to us? The just shall live by faith. Get back to it. Get back to it. Lean not to thine own understanding. Quit putting all your hope in whether there's a good report for you and your gang on the news. Quit getting your strength from the news. Get it from the scriptures. Get it from the preachers. Get it from those who are sent to warn you and to cause you to remember. He says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God will not have any more pleasure in you. Can you imagine looking at the face of God and God not having any pleasure in you? You remember when you were a little girl or a little boy and you look at your mother or your father and they were smiling at you and you knew you had done good and it warmed your heart. But do you ever remember a time when you looked at your parents and they had a look of disgust on their face? You knew you had done something wrong. How would you like to do that finally and eternally just before God shuts you out of the kingdom of light and consigns you to the kingdom of darkness? You see disgust on the face of God. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Are you still believing? Are you still remembering? Are you still as determined that God shall have a righteous soul in you, that there's going to be nothing in you that offends God? Are you still striving to enter in? Remember Lot's wife, almost made it, sat under the teaching and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Abraham's house. She was there with Sarah. She heard the righteous things that delivered Abraham and Sarah and those that were not down in Sodom. All those things were in her heart. All those things were in her mind. What did she need to do? Continue on in the things that she had been taught and not allow the encroachment of the love of stuff to take the place of the love of God. My soul. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 13. Here's the danger. Now these, all that he's mentioned so far, all died in faith, not having received the promises. The promise of the Holy Ghost has not been given yet. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. Brother Gene, I've been hearing about heaven all my life, ever since I was a little, whatever, girl or boy. I heard about heaven. And I believe it. I know it. Yeah, we know. Yeah, 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 blah, blah, blah. Watch it. Watch it. Not having seen, received the promises, but by faith, the eye of faith, having seen that which is not visible, looking at those things that are invisible, and not at the things that are visible, but looking at those things and embracing them and trusting God and not saying, yeah, we heard all that before, but saying, it wasn't a preacher told me that. Yeah, I heard his voice. He did read it out of his Bible, but it was the Lord spoke to my heart. So I have this promise from God, and I have this vision that although I have never seen the person of Jesus of Nazareth, I love him. And I want to be with him. And I desire a heavenly presence that I might be like him and see him as he is. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Seeing those things by faith drew you into it. And those people who saw those things, like Abraham and Sarah and even Lot, were drawn into the comforts of knowing that God would take care of you because he fills your heart, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. But embracing Christ, as you look into that light, it draws you into it. As you look into the face of Jesus by faith, he forms you like unto himself. It draws you into it. When I was first learning how to drive at night, they said, now, don't look at the lights of the approaching vehicle. They'll draw you into them. Well, what do I look at? You see that white line they painted on the side of the road? Yeah, and I wondered why they wasted all that paint. It's not wasted. Look at that line and stay close to it as that car passes and you'll be all right. And I learned something by the Holy Ghost. Don't look into the bright lights of the world and the things of the world. It'll draw you into it. Look into that guiding line, and stay close to the Lord Jesus. Listen, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It has an effect upon your attitude. Who are you? I'm just a stranger and pilgrim on the earth. I don't belong here. Dear soul, listen, the longer I live, the more I realize that the world's out of step with me and I'm out of step with it, and I don't belong here, only as the Lord has assigned, excuse me, only as the Lord has determined the bounds of my habitation, but he made me understand and know this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I don't belong in this world. Who are you? A stranger and pilgrim. How can you say that? Because I've got my eyes and my heart by faith locked in on the Lord Jesus, and it's having an effect upon my soul. But listen at the next verse. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful, if their minds were full of the country that they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Our time is gone. That which you concentrate on and that which you affix yourself on and identify with, it'll draw you back to it. And if these heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 had been mindful of where they came from, they might have had or made themselves opportunity to go back there. That's what we need to know. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the heavenly things. While we look not at the things of the world, but we look at the things of the Lord. We pass these things of the world up. God has given us what we need, usually here in America, more than what we deserve. But dear soul, don't let it get to you. Lord willing, we're going to see some more in our second message, even to looking at something to do with Lot's wife turning to salt. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you.